gamers. This is Simply Travis, and man, sorry if this podcast is getting to you a little bit late. We had another hurricane. Apparently, we have over at the Lamer Gamers podcast joined the Hurricane of the Month Club, and I'm ready to get rid of my subscription. So I am doing this podcast without any prep. So I apologize if it's going to sound a little rough, but also I'm in a new setup. The Twitch stream is completely different, so there could be some things going wrong with that. Now, Mr. 5000, Rowdy cannot make it today because he is currently working like a crazy person. After a hurricane, a lot of times your plants and things like that go into overdrive because I got to get everything back on track. So it's a little wild, and I wanted to do this podcast. I wanted to do some prep today, but whenever you just get through with a hurricane, there's a lot of people that need help around you. And I was just called to go help, you know, cut and move some trees. So I've been doing that this morning. I've been burning things out of my place because I live in the middle of the woods and there's a lot of trees that have been down. Good news is no damage to either of our places. Rowdy actually got electricity back earlier than I did. I got it Sunday night and got water in the same night. So that was exciting because I live out in the swamps and you have to have well water because they don't have city water. So that being said, it's been a wild ride. So let's go ahead and talk about what's happening today. So I am going to try to give you the latest news. It's going to be a little rough, but we're going to go through Reddit. I'll just click weekly. We'll see what's important and move on. After that, I'll go through the bonus points from last week where we asked a whole bunch of lamers online, what is your most anticipated holiday season game? So we'll have all that and more coming up on the Lamer Gamers Podcast. All right, guys, before we get started, if you like what we're doing, press up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, start, then like and subscribe wherever you're at. Also, if you're on Twitch, follow us there. We're starting to get some more people over there, and we try to do this every Saturday night at 8, except when hurricanes hit us. And that seems to be the reasons why we don't have them. Also, subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. All right, guys, here goes. So we're going to start with the news. So let's set that 45-minute timer. I'm pretty sure we're going to beat it. First up, there was with Nintendo news. We had a new Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity Treehouse trailer. So it was a long one. So I'm going to go by what Mayhem Messiah, because I haven't watched it. I've barely had electricity, let alone internet. Actually, fun fact, whenever, and by the way, big thank you to Budget Arcade Podcast for asking us if we wanted to record off of one of their modules or their bots to do cell phone recordings. Unfortunately, I couldn't do that because cell phone signals, I use T-Mobile, right? And six and a half, I don't know what that half tower means, six and a half towers were knocked down and inoperable, so we couldn't use that. But here are some things that from Mayhem Messiah on Reddit says, Urbosa gameplay looks tight. She'll probably be able to maintain her lightning charges without stopping, so she might be very technical. Zelda looks like about what you'd expect. Definitely not a fighter and more focused on summoning explosives and the like. She'll probably be fun enough to play, but in my experience, might not be many people's favorites. Huge map. So lots of things to do and unlock. I wonder if we'll see many different maps for the post game. Like the same thing, but remix Hyrule Warriors was an absurd amount of content. And I honestly don't expect this game to try to replicate it. And that is true. Like Hyrule Warriors was one of those games that they kind of mix a whole bunch of things together and they have a plot that is, not strung together very well. It's like overcooked spaghetti think I used a crazy reference last time. But so it's good to see that there's actually going to be a real story involved with this. I'm curious how much they'll do to keep it cohesive. Next up, they say, looks like Link is going to have at least 3 movesets so far. I'm expecting him also to have a bow-focused moveset, but not the insane 6 or 7 hardware movesets. Also raises the question of whether any other character will have access to multiple weapons. Who knows? The only downer is that they're fairly convinced we aren't getting much more characters. Honestly, a whole lot of characters isn't that big to me. So, assuming Pura, Rome, and Robbie are playable, we're at 10. I'm expecting 2 or 3 villains, Koga, and some OCs. But I don't know. Something just tells me that modern-day fighters are going to be DLC. Now, that is not a huge problem for me, personally. I don't like it when a game overdoes the amount of characters just to do that. So, it should be interesting to see what they do with it. I'd rather much... I guess a better move set for the characters, a better feel than just kind of throwing everything and turning it into like a Pokemon event. Although Pokemon Warriors would probably be cool. They have to get Nintendo to think about that. Also, there was some mention that 2-player mode is somewhat confirmed in this, which will be fun. I'm curious. I would assume that's couch co-op. So, looks interesting. So that was the big news. One of the big news from Nintendo. We'll move on to the next set of news. Capcom. This comes from GoNintendo.com. Capcom reconfirms that Monster Hunter Rise is running on standard Switch. Says they have no idea if a Switch Pro is coming. So that's the thing. The Switch Pro rumors are going around like crazy. And if you watch the video where they show Monster Hunter Rise, you would think that it's not running on our favorite little toaster that could. But... as we've talked about in the past, Nintendo has done some fantastic work getting this little tablet to run games that it shouldn't. It punches way above its weight. So people were thinking, oh, is this the Holy Grail? Is this what we'll finally get to see? Nintendo is confirming a Switch Pro. No, it's running still on a thin slice of toast nestled gently inside the toaster that could. All right, so I don't have a lot of Nintendo news beyond that, so we're going to move on, and let's look at some of the PlayStation 5 news. Now, a big thing that showed up this week is they took apart the PS5, and a lot of people were surprised. Like, we all knew this was a big console, right? But next to a person actually taking it apart, I think it freaked out some people. It is massive. And, I mean, it's pretty smart hardware. It's laid out very interestingly. It's more modular than I thought it would be. Weird thing, though. If you want to expand the storage capacity, you have to straight up take off the side and, like, unscrew things. Whereas the Xbox Series X, you buy a very pricey, expandable thing and just pop it in, right? Not so much with the PlayStation 5. So, curious to see what people were thinking like that. Now, it did start some memes where you saw the guy that put it together, took it apart. It was very tiny next to the massive PlayStation 5 console. So, that is the main PlayStation 5. There's really not a whole lot of news. There's a lot of comparisons right now. And you're seeing that with the Xbox, too. You know, what do PlayStation 4 versus PlayStation 5 games look like? You know, for instance, Sackboy from... I can't remember what the game is right now because I'm warm. But anyway, so, you know, the difference between the two is the Sackboy on PlayStation 4. You could definitely tell there were some flatter textures. I'm sorry, flatter... polygons and form and things like that. And then they... just kind of map the texture on top. Whereas on the PlayStation 5, there's way more geometry, and you'll see lots of different textural effects. It appears like the light drops on the textures in a much more realistic way. So that's one comparison that I've seen. There's also some comparisons that are showing NBA 2K 20 versus 2K21. It does look better, but the picture that they're showing is kind of scary, honestly. It looks like they're sweatier. Hey, look at the new graphics we added, sweatier people. Yes. So that is what I'm seeing. And there's more, unlike real life in 2K in 2020, there's a lot more crowd in the background. So, otherwise for this week, not seeing a whole bunch that is added. There are some PlayStation Store changes coming up October 19th. So let's see what is changing right there. So it looks like they are going to be no longer offer the ability for consumers to purchase PlayStation 3 titles and add-ons, PlayStation Portable games and add-ons, PlayStation Vita games and add-ons, apps, themes, and avatar. So this is for the PlayStation Store, and they're going to get rid of those things. The wish list feature will be discontinued, and any items currently on consumers, your wish list will be removed. Okay, so what does this mean for consumers, it says? The content listed above will no longer be available to buy on PS Store when accessed via a desktop or mobile device. However, they still will be able to buy PS3, PSP, or PS Vita content by accessing the PS Store directly from PS3 or PS Vita or PS4 apps, themes, and avatars. So basically, it's not a whole lot different, to be honest. That is going to be it for PlayStation. By the way, if you're just jumping in the chat, thanks for dropping by. Just got done with a hurricane, just got electricity back, and decided to do this without prep. Yeah, had to try out the fancy new equipment, the new streaming stuff. All right, so that is it for the PlayStation news. Let's move on to Xbox news. There's not a whole lot for that. Apparently, I didn't miss a whole lot with Hurricane Delta. There is some news on Xbox Series X Quick Resume from Alana Pierce on the Twitters. Says that, I've seen a few people asking, what's the point of Xbox Quick Resume is? To be clear, games stay resumed even when the console is off. It's not about swapping between three games in an hour. It's about three games you play over a week being fast to load every time, for example. Also, you can actually unplug the Series X from power entirely and Quick Resume will still work. Now, that's really good for those of us that lose power for days whenever a hurricane hits us again. You know, like the one that just hit us. I'm not bitter. Not bitter at all. I mean, we've had two hurricanes in a month. But at least my Xbox Resume would be fine, right? That's how that works. Anyway, so that is how that's going to work. Next up, IGN put out a vote. Which game streaming service you use or want to use most? So they had Google Stadia, NVIDIA GeForce Now. Sorry about that. Game streaming with Xbox Game Pass, Shadow. I haven't even heard of Shadow. Rainway or something else. I guess that would be Amazon's new thing. Rowdy's going to talk about it. I think it's called Luna. We'll be talking about that here in another episode or so. But massively chosen was Game Pass game streaming for a streaming service. I mean, just destroying the other one. So let's go through the lowest. The lowest was Rainway. If you remember Rainway, they were kind of a big name for a minute for promising streaming on the Nintendo Switch. Never came to fruition. Probably was a way for people to, you know, put money over to them. Next up is, oh, I'm sorry, the last one was Shadow, 1.7%. I haven't even heard of that. Then Rainway. Then third place, Google Stadia at 6.8%. And if you've listened to this show, you know my thoughts on Google Stadia. It's a waste of time, a waste of money. Next one, GeForce Now with 9.8%. Then the ever glorious something else at 12.9%. But with 63.7% of people on IGN. This is out of 1,160 votes. Granted, this is not a scientific study. However, it seems that the people going over to IGN are most excited about game streaming with Xbox Game Pass, which is pretty insane, the xCloud stuff. But, you know, a lot of it comes down to, you know, what we've talked about in the past. What is the price factor with all this? For Google Stadia, you pay a monthly fee to stream in 4K. With Game Pass, you pay a monthly fee, but you get all those games on the regular console, you can get them on the PC, and you can stream in the cloud. I mean, it's just a better price for all of that. So, massive difference. Let's go ahead and move on. They have announced some of the games that are optimized for 120 frames per second. Now, it's a pretty small group, right? That's really into this. I'm sure there's a lot of people like, well, it's the only way you can play Halo and you can play, apparently I'm Macho Man Randy Savage today. It's the only way you can play Halo and League of Legends and all these other games. Racing games, right? Sure. But how many people own 120 frame per second TV? Now, there are a lot of people, like, because I'm kind of in the market for one, they're looking at some of these new Vizio TVs that can do this. They're looking at the Sony X900H. They're looking at the Samsung MU80s that can do some of these 100 frames per second things. They run in HDR. Some of them even run VRR, which is variable refresh rate, so you don't have the screen tearing issues. A lot of those, though, if you're looking for that stuff right now, just know that a lot of this stuff in this new gen is being added later on in firmware updates. I know the Sony X900 is getting a firmware update to upgrade to virtual refresh rate. I think the P-Series Quantum X by Vizio did too. They just got a major update. Anyway, here are the games that can actually run at 120 frames per second based on a graphic I pulled from Reddit, so it's totally legit. Dirt 5, Call of Duty Cold War, Halo Infinite, Exo Mecha. I can't read it because it's way too small. Metal Hellsinger. Ooh, that's an intense game. Metal Hellsinger. Monster Boy. Orphan of the Machine. Gears 5. Second Extinction. Second Extinction looks kind of cool. I'm actually kind of excited about it. It gives me all the Turok tinglies from back whenever I played Turok as a kid on the Nintendo 64. But it's like, you know, you play as a group and you hunt down these like crazy monsters. Rainbow Six Siege. That's going to be one people playing 120. Devil May Cry 5. Ori and the Will of the Wisp. And The Falconeer. All those at 120 frames per second. So, I did watch a video on Dirt 5. It is the first game that's really being shown on the Xbox Series X right now. And they're showcasing some of these things on there where you can actually see the game running 120 frames per second. They haven't shown any Xbox Series X games except for the backwards compatible ones. There are three modes in Dirt 5, which if you don't know what Dirt 5 is, it's a racing game. It's kind of like off-road, a lot of different terrains. It is, I think, Codemasters. I could be wrong. But it looks pretty good. It's definitely arcadey. The cars, when they run into each other, they don't like get messed up, it looks like. So there's kind of a fakeness to it. It is not a ultra realistic racing game by any means. But the groundwork looks cool. It's nice to see when you're going over the mud actually deforms and gets muddy, right? The graphics looks good. And there were three different modes. They had a performance mode, which is locked 60 frames per second, 4K. Then they had a graphics mode, which actually stays locked at 60 frames per second, but it's variable 4K. Like it drops down, I think, to 800p at the lowest, but it really doesn't happen very often, they were saying. And the big difference was in the graphics mode, or the resolution mode, I guess graphics mode, where the shadows were much better. And you could actually see it in the Digital Foundry video. Then the 120 frames per second mode was there. And of course, they had the worst shadows. It generally ran in 1800p, would drop down to 1080p occasionally, but generally somewhere around the 2K range, essentially. And it looked like it ran fantastic. They didn't have any hiccups with the game. It's actually one I'm curious if Dirt 5 will be coming to Game Pass, because I kind of want to play it, but the problem is I don't have a lot of people I really play these games with. So I don't see it. Will Dirt 5 be on Game Pass? Let's look this up real quick. this is according to a question on Reddit. Nobody knows. So I guess it's not. It's going to be a... It is Codemasters, it's looking like. But otherwise, I just can't find if it is on the Game Pass. Here we go. While the game is not a true next-gen title, a cross-generational one instead, the announcement is still a welcome one, considering the main selling point of Microsoft Next Gen's offering is the massive Game Pass library. So it might be. It was part of that original video. So it looks like we are going to get that on Game Pass. Cross your fingers. That is actually true. Pretty excited about it. Game Pass is a huge selling point for me. All right. So that is... see if I got any more Xbox news for your ear holes. Doesn't look like it. Let's go to Etc. Like I said, this is a quick podcast today. No prep. Hurricane's been all up in my area. And no Rowdy, because he's already working. I don't go back to work till Wednesday, so I figured I'd do this. So we actually have some good Etc. news. So this is like multi-platform news. We are not going to do Lamer of the Week. We'll say the freaking Hurricane is the Lamer of the Week. Hurricane Delta, I hate you. Anyway, and Laura, I hate you too. I hate what you did to Lake Charles. I hate what you did to Southeast Texas. Anyway, which, by the way, Delta did some crazy stuff. Normally, the fastest winds on a hurricane are around the eye. Actually, on this one, winds, the gusts, not the consistent wind, the winds were actually faster in some parts on the west side of the hurricane, where I happen to live, than a parts of the eye, which was crazy. I actually was sitting on my porch, because I'm crazy like that, watching the hurricane. And normally we don't get hurricanes during the evenings. I'm sorry, we don't get them during the day. We normally get them at night. So you don't get to see a day hurricane very often. And where I was at, I was pretty protective. Winds were coming in from the north-northwest. I was on my porch, which is completely backed, like where I was sitting, where there was nothing going to hit me. But, you know, I was watching branches fall through, a tree fall down, stuff like that. And yeah, some of the winds were kind of scary. So went inside. Yeah. All right. Avengers, Marvel's Avengers dips below 1,000 players on PC, causing matchmaking problems. A lot of people complaining on the Reddit saying it's repetitive. Same enemies, same levels over and over. Even dailies are same thing repeated, and it's only two daily bosses are Abomination and Taskmaker. And I've seen other people saying, cash grab, right? Stuff like that. Just jumping in from the side. And it really is like, I was looking at this game. It looks cool on the surface, but I think they're trying to put a lot of replay value in a game that inherently does not have a lot of replay value. Unless you're just pumping out a lot of new content, story content a week. I like the idea of having a game that you play through some of these stories that are in the comics, but I don't like having to pay for every one. You know, it's like, where is that point to where you really want to keep paying for it? And a lot of people drop like $120 on it and they're already bored. I know Rowdy 5000 has like, was excited for it for the first couple days and just hasn't really enjoyed it as much. Now, I was thinking, though, while I was sitting around, you know, waiting for lights to come back on at night, I actually read The Hobbit in 2 days. And I was thinking, man, there's all these Lord of the Rings games, but none of them are really like hitting that sweet spot for me that tells a story but lets me play it. You know, they have some of the Mordor games, but they're so far away from what the book's original telling is, and sort of the fun quality behind it, and just general storytelling at all. Freaking Spider Queens and junk like that are in the Mordor games. But then there are other ones that kind of make sense. But I was thinking something like the Marvel Universe series or Marvel's Avengers, but done to The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings, might actually be an interesting way to do that. Now that the graphics are really, really getting on par with movie level, after seeing this game, I think that would be a fantastic thing to try out. So, anyway, that was just kind of a random thought. I was sitting around. Next up in the news, Microsoft, this is a PC gamer, Andy Chalk. Microsoft sides with Epic in its fight with Apple. Promises a more open Microsoft store. So, if you didn't know, in August, Microsoft kind of filed a declaration in support of Epic's request for an injunction against Apple's plan to remove its access to iOS development tools. It's basically, the company said, it's critical technology for numerous game creators, and that taking away Epic's ability to support it on iOS and macOS devices will harm game creators and gamers. So we've had this kind of infighting, especially since Microsoft tried to put Game Pass on Apple Store, and because they couldn't put all of the games through Apple's system, they had issues with it. Apple wants to make money off of every single game is basically what it boils down to. So it looks like we have Epic teaming up with them. So we'll read through some of the principles that Microsoft is calling out, essentially, in this article. So they had a coalition for app fairness where they designed 10 principles that everybody should practice and preach, which is probably a good idea. It probably will keep monopolization from happening and keep the government from coming in and trying to break up some of these companies. But anyway, here's the principles in Microsoft's words. Of course, knowing Microsoft, they could also be setting this up because they are way stronger at some of this stuff and they know it. First one, developers will have the freedom to choose whether to distribute their apps for Windows through our App Store. We will not block competing app stores on Windows. So that's good. They're trying to show that, hey, we are competitive. Two, we will not block any app from Windows based on a developer's business model or at how it delivers content and services, including whether content is installed on a device or streamed from the cloud. So they're trying to show basically that they are trying to not take away competition. Next, we will not block an app from Windows based on a developer's choice of which payment system to use for processing purchases made in its app. We will give developers timely access to information about the interoperability interfaces we use on Windows and set forth in our interoperability principles. I'm so tired, guys. I'm so tired. Can't even say multisyllabical words. Every developer will have access to our App Store as long as it meets objective standards and requirements, including those for security, privacy, quality, content, and digital safety. Our App Store will charge reasonable fees that reflect the competition we face from other stores on Windows and will not force a developer to sell within its app anything it doesn't want to sell. Our App Store will not prevent developers from communicating directly with their users through their apps for legitimate business purposes. Our App Store will hold our own apps to the same standards to which it holds competing apps. Microsoft will not use any non-public information or data from its App Store about a developer's app to compete with it. And finally, our App Store will be transparent about its rules. That's a pretty big one, actually. And policies and opportunities for promotion and marketing. Apply these consistently and objectively. Provide notice of charges and make available a fair process to resolve disputes. So all this stuff is actually kind of fantastic. If you look at what Apple's doing, and you know, I am an Android person, don't get me wrong. I do like the openness of it, but I do also realize that Google over time has become very, they open things up. They allow people to come in, but they also then use a lot of these others' apps, ideas, and technologies that are developed, and they create their own version under the name of open source and kind of close it off. So I do like that it's going to be transparent about its rules and policies. It's trying to say that it's not going to steal other apps' things. It just sounds interesting. I'm not used to a company saying it's going to try to be transparent. I mean, you look at YouTube and Twitter and Google. I mean, we've been hit really hard when we started this podcast with our search results, where we had hundreds and hundreds of people coming to listen to the podcast a month or episode. And then it just, once Google put through a algorithm change, it basically ate up all of our Google stuff, anything from them. Now they force us to like try to pay them for advertising. So we just don't care that much. It just feels wrong. I feel like I'm being held ransom by Google some days, but enough of that. Y'all, you've listened to me. You know how sometimes Google gets after me. All right, next up, Activision Blizzard to shut French office. Rooted in its past. That's the weird Bloomberg. What is that? Oh, it's Jason Schreier. Okay. What is this thing that you're saying? Okay. So Jason Schreier over at Bloomberg says video game publisher Activision Blizzard informed employees in its Versailles, France office Tuesday that the location will be closed, putting an end to the U.S. company's history in the country. Okay. So they're shutting down their French offices. Versailles office employed about 400 people as of early 2019, and they this is why the French office handled marketing, customer support, localizing games to different languages, and other functions for titles Activision Blizzard publishes in Europe. So marketing had some issues a while back that people were upset with about. And we've covered Blizzard pretty extensively in the past and their connections to Tencent and some of their other workings. You can find that episode, The Chinese Blizzard, where we really break down the entire history of Blizzard and its many companies that go all the way back, honestly, I think it was like 100 years or so. Anyway, before video games. But Nintendo was over 100 years ago, so you're concerned why I said that, you know. Anyway, they'd originally planned to relocate half of the office to London, according to the people, who asked not to be identified discussing private information. Yeah, sure. However, the twin factors of Brexit and the Gobbles pandemic have inhibited that process, leading to the decision to shutter the site about an hour's drive outside of Paris. Activision Blizzard shares fell 2.1 to 78.30 in New York. They've actually gained 32% this year. So we'll see how that plays out. They've been pretty big, it says in here. Blizzard, of course, was bought by Vivendi SA in 1988, which is the French conglomerate. And they released a string of games, StarCraft, Diablo II, Warcraft. Eventually, Vivendi's game division merged with Activision to form Activision Blizzard, which was divested, in other words, taken out from Vivendi in 2013. And that's when things get really squirrely. So that is, I believe, the news from last week. If we missed something, let us know on the Twitter. We'll try to get it covered next week if it's big enough. So we are going to, if you're listening to the podcast, go to a quick break with some fancy music by Rowdy 5000. And we'll be right back with bonus points, where we asked a whole bunch of lamers online, what is your most anticipated game this holiday season? See you after the break. We'll be right back. Flamer Gamers, I am back, and it is time for some bonus points! So, we asked you, we had a special pre-hurricane edition before it hit, because we weren't sure what was going to happen. What is your most anticipated game this holiday season? Now, if you don't know what bonus points is and you're new to the show, we put out a question every Thursday or Friday where we ask a whole bunch of people online that follow our Twitter about a hot gaming topic that we have a point of view on, but we want some bonus points of view from you, the everyday lamer that is working like crazy. All right, guys, so... first up, and of course we have friends of the show that respond. So first up, More Than a Podcast, M-O-O-R-E. He does a fantastic podcast. One of the best episodes is his Dreamcast episode. I really like that one. Anyway, he says, it's absolutely Cyberpunk 2077. We haven't had a proper AAA title from Project CD Red for a long time, and just knowing their track record and how amazing The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt was, I can only anticipate that Cyberpunk 2077 would be the best way to close out 2020 and start 2021. Yeah, I'm looking forward to Cyberpunk. I've honestly kept away from it a little bit because I do want to be surprised. Now, Rowdy5000. He just posted pictures of Bugsnax. This dude is so obsessed with the Bugsnax. It's getting ridiculous. I get pictures in my text box every day. He sends them to other people now. I'm just waiting to see like pictures in my mailbox are like taped to my door, and he drove like 40 minutes just to do it. You know, it's getting weird. But it's hilarious, honestly. All right, so that is the first one for bonus points. We'll pull up the other ones real quick. And if you're in the Twitch, sorry, I don't have the graphic loaded up for to change it from weekly news round. All right, so after we got the early one off, we had the hurricane edition because we posted it when the hurricane was rolling in. So with some lovely graphics of... you know, the America flag one and stuff like that. That's kind of how I felt with this hurricane. All right, first up, Thought Bubble TV, who has a fantastic YouTube, says, it's got to either be Legend of Zelda Age of Calamity or Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memories. Agree with you on Legend of Zelda. Age of Calamity looks really good. I am excited that it is going to be an actual canon Nintendo game and not just a bunch of stuff strung together. Spyhards Podcast says, it was going to be Halo, but now it's Cyberpunk. As you know, Halo got cut. Actually, our Hurricane Laura bonus points was about Halo, and we never got to air it. So that's why I'm doing this today, because I want to make sure we don't lose these. Level Up, BP Level Up Podcast says, Cyberpunk and the Medium. Cyberpunk, yes. Medium, I'm on the fence. I'm not a huge horror game guy. But who knows? Maybe if it's just good enough. And we all wish it'll be great, right? Next up, Tony Coffee at _Goomba with a fantastic Twitter. Says Hyrule Warriors is looking amazing and Cyberpunk is also in my radar. Strangely, nothing from the new consoles have my interest. Yeah, honestly, I'm really excited about the Xbox Series X. I am excited about Valhalla, which is really unusual because not the biggest fan of Assassin's Creed games, but the newer ones, especially since Odyssey, that one was just amazing. I love that game. Halloween Lover 79 at Japan Lover 79 says, Hitman 3, I got to get my 47 on and complete the trilogy. Never played it. I haven't done much Hitman, but I'm not a sneaky, sneaky person. As you can tell from my playtime in Among Us, I'm very bad at sneaking and very bad at lying. More Than a Podcast came by. He just was checking in to see if his was in there. Lit Gaming Arena Podcast says, honestly, I got to say I'm more anticipating the Lit Gaming Awards recording session than anything else right now. So that's cool. They'll have that coming up. And Matt Varish from VG Lore Podcast says, I suppose Cyberpunk, but that could change. Now, this is kind of a low energy one this month. Because we didn't really have time to interact with everybody. But I do appreciate those that dropped by and joined in with us in bonus points this week. Thank you all to everybody, too, that have checked in on us, made sure we were okay. For those that were offering to keep our podcast running in the midst of a hurricane or during the time that... I guess the best way to explain it was... Winds howling, you know, if you're, say, Geralt. It's kind of how things felt. And they do howl occasionally. It's really interesting. Or sound like trains. That's the scary wind. All right, guys. So once again, thank y'all for joining in. If you like the podcast, look for Glamour Gamers Podcast pretty much anywhere. If you want this broken down into segments, I am trying to catch up. It will probably be tomorrow. I'll get a couple more episodes thrown on Lamer Gamer Bytes. That's B-Y-T-E-S. And follow us on the Twitch. We are doing this live. We're going to start trying to incorporate some new stuff. We actually have a brand new setup. Let us know how you like it. I'm still playing around with the green screen, but it reminds... I got all the graphics from some of our old shows behind us, and it kind of reminds me all the colors of like old Super Nintendo cartridges. I'll be incorporating new streams with Rowdy 5000 in them too in the future. But yeah. All right, guys. That is it for me. I am out, and y'all have a great week, and we should be back unless we have another hurricane, which there's one in the Gulf. Well, not a hurricane, but it could develop. But we should be back next week. Come wind, rain, storm, explosions from plants, snakes, or whatever else they've thrown at us at the Lamer Gamers Podcast. You have a good one, guys.